Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord for His grace which He has given unto us, that we can be gathered here in His presence to be blessed by Him again, to hear His word anew, yes, to experience His grace anew. I believe that all have come with a desire in their hearts and are in great expectation, and no one will be ashamed whoever has put his trust in Him. He will give whatever our heart desires if it is according to His will. We are grateful to God that we are still having this time of grace and that we can be gathered here so freely, and that we may hear the living Word of God. I'm very grateful to God, and I'm confident that today we will be blessed richly, and we go home blessed richly. Let us be in expectation. Let us go with the Word, because it's not the preacher or the man who speaks. It is God who speaks to us personally through His Word. Let us have this attitude. Let us say, Lord, speak to me personally. And then we will experience Him anew. For the word of introduction, I would like to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, a couple of verses. Gospel of John, chapter 10. I would like to read just a few verses, beginning with verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Then, let us stand up and read it again. Please be so kind. Be so kind, brother. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Then verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. May the Lord bless His word. Let us pray together. Blessed Heavenly Father, we are the sheep of Your hand and the sheep of Your pasture. Tonight here in this building we are gathered, and we pray with all our hearts, have Your own way tonight here in our midst. Speak through Thy word to all of us, Lord. Help us all, O God. Bless Your people which has gathered here, and bless also Your people worldwide which tonight is also listening. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. Come to Your right. Do what You promised. Give Your word in a mighty way. Confirm Thy word and bring us all into the right stand. It is our wish. Revive us all tonight. Be merciful to us. We thank You with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come from on high. Come, Spirit of the Lord.
I love him.
Thou art worthy. Amen. You may be seated. What a grace, what a privilege to be gathered in the name of the Lord to hear His precious and holy word, to get it freshly revealed from His throne, to hear it. To be introduced into the plan of salvation just before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and having part in what God is doing right now. We were already welcomed by Brother Schmidt, and I would like to ask, who is here today for the first time? Please raise your hand, whoever is here today for the first time, and please stand up so that we can also see you. Be welcome. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 19, 20, 21, 22. The Lord God bless you. There we have a visit from Moldavia. perhaps, to say it better, from Bessarabia. Then here, a dear visit. God bless you. God bless you. Where are you from? From Bielefeld. God bless you in our midst. Then here we have our friends. God bless you. Just from all peoples, tongues and nations. God bless you all. Then here we have a visit from King Shasa for the first time in our midst. A man who is working for the government, a man who drove me, who picked me up with a great black Mercedes. God bless you in a special way in our midst. A man who is almost every day together with the president. God has given much grace. God bless the sisters. God bless our brother. May God just bless all who are gathered to hear God's holy word. Then we welcome once again all, not only those who are here today for the first time, but all who are here tonight. And we are greeting from this place, yes, I would like to say, all over the earth, beginning with Auckland, New Zealand, up to the other side of the earth. May God bless all richly. And we have also greetings from Kolwezi, greetings from Atlanta, greetings from Cape Town, greetings from Johannesburg, greetings from Nairobi, from Lubumbashi, from Chile, from Switzerland, from Bucharest, from Palermo, from Benin. Just greetings and again greetings from all our brothers and sisters. Many are now connected with us, are seeing and listening to this sermon in all the various languages. May God bless us all. I think Brother Wallström from Denmark, I may not forget him. He always asks to greet all. I say it once again. We are very grateful to God for this place which He has given us, for all the opportunities which we are having now to carry His word unto the ends of the earth. Everything is grace. Then I would like that Brother Tati stands up now. Brother Tati from Brussels. Where is he? This is Brother Tati from Brussels, who made together with me this mighty journey, especially to Mauritius and Madagascar. These are unforgettable days and meetings. Firstly, it went to Kenya, and then to Rwanda, and then back to Kenya again, and then to Mauritius, and then to Madagascar, and then within Madagascar, flying to the second largest city, to redeem the time and to bring the word of the Lord. And time and again, the brother said, 28 years we have waited for your visit. Finally, you have come. But since 28 years, if I'm right, Brother Tati, since 28 years they are connected with us, and they are reading and hearing what is being proclaimed at this place and what is being published. Just so nice that in all peoples, even in the midst of the Indian Ocean, where one could look over to Trivandrum, and then one would be in India. Just God has taken care for everything. Did I give you greetings from Chile? Many greetings. Did I give you greetings from Lima? Yes, sometimes I forget some things. We are just joined with all. And then it went again to Johannesburg. And there, God has given special grace. It was a breakthrough, a real breakthrough. So many tears I've never seen at the exit of the building. And brothers were coming together. They were asking for forgiveness. They were coming from various camps, and now they were joined in the Lord. Just very wonderful. Also there were more than 1,000 people gathered, and it was the longest sermon which I probably ever preached. 2 hours and 20 minutes. And this without a translator. But the word of the Lord was so mighty, and it went really from scripture to scripture, and it was necessary. It was really necessary that the things are said clearly from the biblical point of view, and we are very grateful to God for the respect towards His Word and for the great privilege which He has given us through His Spirit to be led by His Spirit into all the truth. Did I give you greetings from Switzerland, from Bucharest, from all over? Then nobody will be angry with me anymore. Brothers and sisters, we have arrived in a wonderful time. I believe our brethren in Romania, they are also very happy. There, after my return from the long trip, we also had two wonderful meetings there. Also a brothers' meeting. About 300 ministering brethren were gathered from all over the country, in a very nice building who has 3,000 seats. It was filled, and the people were even standing outside. God has blessed Brother Daniel. He was my driver. Please stand up, Brother Daniel. God bless our brother Daniel in a very special way. We are very grateful for all the brothers. And in Romania, it shows the best in Europe what it means when brothers are in unity, when they don't go after strange doctrines, but rather are abiding in the word of the Lord, appreciating one another, and by this doing the service in the kingdom of God. May the Lord, the ever faithful God, whose word we heard, and especially if it's direct words of our Lord, then it's worthwhile to stand up. You know, in the USA, Brother Branham, he did it that way, that for the word of introduction, he always was asking the people to stand up and to hear the word in reverence. We hear it also by if we sit. But it's also very good to stand up and to really hear the word in reverence. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. What a statement! Every preacher, every Sunday, one can read it. But it has become true. And we may say, it has become true. It has become true with us. I know my sheep and am known of mine. And mine know me. And we may say, we know our Lord. And we may even emphasize, he revealed himself to us. This we not only sing, this is true. Then, as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He has given his life for us, so that we may be sheep of his pasture. And then let us be honest now. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Also tonight. My sheep, not all the others, but my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. It has become true in your life. It has become true in our lives. Then, verse 28 again. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is powerful. Predestination, election, before the foundation of the world. And then the finished work of redemption, which brings us back again into the divine stand as sons and daughters of God. It's just mighty things, which we are not only looking at, but which we may experience by grace. Today, I would like to come to the book of Revelation, just to Revelation chapter 5, and to read us a couple of scriptures showing us what God has done in our time. In our time, what he has done. In Revelation, chapter 5, we read in verse 9, we all know what is written here. Who is worthy? In verse 2, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And then, in verse 5, perhaps you read it. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Then verse 9. Of the elders and of the living creatures, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And we are gathered here from many peoples, tongues and nations, as people who have heard of that God in our time has opened the sealed book, the mysteries which were hidden before the foundation of the world. He revealed them to us. He has given us insight into his plan of salvation as it was not known before on the earth. And this is grace. It's grace that we can have part in it, deepening ourselves in the Word. And what really impresses me very much recently is the following statement. And this statement I hear again and again as a testimony that even years have passed, even with believers, where the Word was not yet revealed in such a way. Recently, one hears it time and again, that the Word is alive, that it addresses, it speaks to you, it is being revealed. And this is a direct blessing which God gives us. And with this connected, as I said it last Sunday in Zurich, by the preaching, it has to be succeeded to connect with God, not with the preacher, to connect the people with God, so that the Word directly falls into their hearts. And by this, they are addressed directly by the Lord. Then it says in verse 11, in Revelation 5, 11 and 12, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And then again, this wonderful singing, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Then all of the creation has tuned in, verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Let us say it very clearly. Only those who belong to the bride of the Lamb, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life since the foundation of the world, they are hearing to that what the bridegroom has now to say unto the church. And without being puffed up now, therein we distinguish from all what is being taught in the churches and denominations. I forgot to go into the details what is happening now on the earth. But actually, I have to say, are you more interested in that, what God is doing, or not? Of course, we of course notice what is happening, a 10-point plan for Israel, but who wants to know of it? Who? Then it says here in big letters, Switzerland, World Council of Churches, and then it says, the World Council of Churches is made out of about 345 denominations. Then it says, the man from Norway said, I would like to speak with the Pope and so forth. Then it says here, 68 Protestant leaders, that what the Pope declared in the Caritas Veritate, love in truth, he has given applause to it. All are joining in. Then it's not worthwhile to go into these details. I just brought them with me here. It's really a waste of time. But what I would like to read here is what Brother Branham said. And with this, I would like to draw your attention to the kernel of the divine message. And I tell you also why. Because too many things are being said which are just not in agreement with the scripture. Here, Brother Branham says, the message brings us back to the Bible. And he says, in the next sentence, and we go directly back to the Word. And he says in the next sentence, it needs the simplicity so that the power of the Holy Spirit can fall in such a way as at Pentecost. And then the statement follows, with this same message with which Peter was entrusted with on the day of Pentecost, we were entrusted with. And we say, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I brought with me some quotes to let us know what kind of emphasis Brother Branham has laid upon the Word of God. And here it says once again that God is doing now the same as at Pentecost. The true church burns with a fire, because it is the same message, the same faith, the same doctrine, the same Bible, the same God, the same signs and wonders which are happening now. Everything the same, the same. Two sisters gave testimony today of healing in my office. And now there's another quote. God promised to send us a true prophet with a true word, with a true message. And the true word of God comes back, and we are being brought back to the faith of our fathers. And the same power of the Holy Spirit is amongst the people. And then the admonition, come back to the Word, come back to Christ. These are statements, all the brothers shall hear it who are going to the front and who preach all kinds of things than the Word. And then the two quotes here. So, a true prophet will always point to the word of the Lord and to the promise which the Lord has given us. And then, once again, referring to John 14, verse 12, there it says, the works which I did, ye shall do also. And then, once again, Brother Branham, We have the promise of restoration. And this promise we have. Just say amen. This we have. Before the return of Jesus Christ, everything, of course, has to be placed back into its original condition. And here, Brother Branham says, it's a promise of restoration. And then, every voice has a message, and every message has a voice. And the message of restoration, which the Lord has given us, we receive by faith. It is the original faith which God has given us. And we believe the promise from Malachi 4 that God has brought us back to the faith of our fathers. Then the message of the hour is return back to the Word of God. This should be addressed to all who went forth to sow discord amongst the people of God. I told it to already the last time. We will not spend time with it. But it's really unbelievable to what kind of ideas brothers are coming, especially, of course, from the USA. And then they are claiming, I told it to you last time already, that the second coming of Christ is already past. And we just need to change our thinking so that we see this and that we understand it. It goes even further. We have seen the resurrection. We have seen the changing of the bodies. We have seen the rapture. We have seen the meeting in the air. We have seen the ministry of Moses and Elijah. One may not read on here. Otherwise, one gets really angry in the spirit. And only because such gentlemen are coming from the USA and are going to Africa, for instance now to Gabon, then the people are hearing and are being misled. Brothers and sisters, the grace, and this is not being puffed up now. It's grace which God has given us to abide in the Word of God. And time and again emphasizing that everything was a divine reality with our Redeemer here on the earth. And the return of the Lord will be a divine reality. The resurrection will be reality. The marriage supper will be reality. No fantasy, but reality. And because we are counting ourselves to the bride church, let me read the few scriptures from Revelation 19 and 21. And let us take them to heart, thinking, remembering the word which we heard, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they know me. And if we would read on, to a stranger they will not hearken. To a stranger they will not listen to. They will not receive strange doctrines. They will abide in the Word of God to be sanctified therein. The precious words now from Revelation, chapter 19, from verse 7. One can read it time and again. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. We who we are hearing today the call, who we are hearing the invitation, we will then be part when the singing sounds in glory at the marriage supper. There we will not be sad anymore. There will be no sorrow, no trouble. But as written here, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. These are hours of preparation unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to give up all the inner resistance and to give us a heart which receives everything what God has to say unto us through his word. Then it continues in verse 8, and to her, the bride, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Not you and my righteousness, but being justified by faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who brought a perfect sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Then, verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, without criticizing, I also read much information in our country, which are given in all over the world, to all the Christian world. And if you read here, 350 denominations in the World Council of Churches, all are speaking of Christ. There's even the big headline, Christianity changed Europe. But the Bible doesn't speak of Christendom. The word Christendom is not written a single time in the Bible. And those who were spirit baptized were first called Christians. And there is the word Mashiach, anointed one. And because they were anointed, therefore they were called Christians. But today, everything is Christendom. And the Christendom has changed all of Europe. One only asks oneself, how did it change? One just asks, changed, yeah, in the seven crusades, changed, in all the persecutions of Jews, changed, when the Huguenots in one night were murdered, all of Europe was changed by Christendom. Yes, but how was it changed? How? Christ changes completely different. Christ makes everything new. There's no hatred, no envy, no persecution. There's grace and mercy. And this is the change which we need. The change which we need. In the chorus we sing, all things new, all things new. So, here we have the wonderful introduction to that what is ahead of us. Let us be glad about it, because the moment has come very near. We notice it really on all the signs of the time that the return of the Lord is near. Let me read also from Revelation 21. And please find yourself in it. Please find yourself in it again. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The new Jerusalem is our home. There we belong. There we belong. Prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. I go to prepare a place for you. And I come again to take you unto myself, so that you are there where I am also. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are invited. We have accepted the invitation. And we are grateful to God, grateful for it. Then, in verse 9, in Revelation 21, verse 9, the second part, the last part, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And in verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 12, because here we have verse 12, 13, 14, the New Jerusalem described precisely. And then we have the 12 gates, the 12 angels. And then in verse 14, I would like to read the statement of the wall. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Here it is about the term Lamb, Lamb of God, the marriage of the Lamb, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I will show you the bride of the Lamb. The Lamb of God died for us. Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And now the great invitation, and back again, to John 10. My sheep, hear my voice. Before that, I wanted to say, all are having their programs. One shall not have it possible. All kinds of programs in all of Christianity, in the churches, denominations, all over. It's incomprehensible how many programs. One program after the other program. And our question is, who hears in all these programs, who hears what God has promised in his plan of salvation, what he has prepared for us from eternity on? And here we notice, without being puffed up, here we notice what election means. There we notice what it means. My sheep, hear my voice. Then we notice what it means. I know them and they know me. I don't want to go into details of all these programs, but it's just incomprehensible. All kinds of programs, and all the programs are bypassing God. Then, once again, the emphasis that we really have received the indescribable grace to know of what God ordained for our time. How many times we lined out the thought of the scripture that God made his covenant with us, that he has given us promises, and that all promises of God are yea and amen, that he has taken the responsibility for the fulfillment of all the promises. For instance, when he said in Acts chapter 1, wait in Jerusalem until ye receive the promise of the Father. Yes, it was him, of course, of which John said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. For every promise, and this goes forth from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God is in him the yes, and in him the amen, in him the promise, and in him and through him the fulfillment, namely through us, who we are believing the promises of God. And if it is written here, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, then we think straight to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles. Go from church to church, go from denomination to denominations. All are having their doctrines. Nobody is allowed to speak between them. The Church of Jesus Christ in this time has been brought back to the beginning. And God used Brother Branham in our time, as then he used Paul. And then we read, even in Galatians 1, whoever preaches another gospel, he is under a curse. He can speak of Christ, he can speak of gospel, but the deviation, every deviation of the original is already under the influence of the enemy. Then we have in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 20, the statement that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. But let us come now to Ephesians chapter 2. Brothers and sisters, it's just so mighty, the power of the Word of God, the depth which we find therein. Here, in Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 12, we read Ephesians 2 from verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This was our condition, the condition of all, from all peoples, tongues, and nations. And whoever reads to it, Romans 9, verse 4, can read it. God has placed everything in a wonderful order. He started with Israel, and he will end with Israel. And in between is the mystery with Christ and with the church. Then we have in verse 19 and 20, perhaps we should read verse 17 also, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have Jews and those of the nations. We have both free access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Then, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I feel like saying that nobody should think of himself that I will be part of it, although I do not follow the doctrine of the apostles. Don't do it. Don't do it. Whoever wants to be part of the first resurrection, whoever wants to be part in the rapture, has to be in agreement with God and His Word. There's no other way. Shall the rebellion in heaven continue? This is impossible. Here God wants to correct us. Here he wants to teach. And he wants to give us clarity by grace. Then we have it in verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. With this, let us go to Romans chapter 9 to see how Paul deals, how he lines out this subject, and how Israel originally received the sonship, and then we were also taken into it. Romans 9, here we read verse 4 and 5. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the sonship, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Then it comes, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. According to the flesh, coming from the descendants of David, according to the Spirit, the Lord our God. Then we read on, in particular, from verse 15, in this same chapter, Romans 9, from verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And then he just lines out more and more how the plan of salvation of our God is including the church from all the nations. Then we go straight to chapter 11, Romans chapter 11. Here we read from verse 7. Romans 11, verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it. and the rest were hardened. The election reaches it, obtains it. Because we hearkened to that what God had to say to us. Go today to any kind of denomination and tell them God has promised a prophet. Then everything is over. Everything. And if you then come with the doctrine and you say, please check whether the word Trinity is written in the Bible, whether one time eternal Son is written in the Bible, and you could continue, the door would be closed to you. The people don't want to hear the truth. But only the truth sets free. The lie binds. The lie binds. The truth makes free. So, all closed their doors. And therefore, it's written in Revelation 3, behold, I stand before the door. He's not inside, he's outside. I stand before the door and knock. He can knock all over, everywhere. But who opens him the door? Then we read on from verse 8 in Romans chapter 11. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this very day. And why? Firstly, they deafened their ears. First, they rejected the speaking of the Lord. And then, God closed their ears and hearts. Unto this very day. And therefore it is written, do not harden your hearts. Namely, today, if you hear his voice. And I say it once again, we may be grateful that God has given us the grace to hear to what he has to say unto us today. Now, in reference to all the denominations, it's written in verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Their table. Everywhere spoken of the table of the Lord, everywhere spoken of food, and everywhere they mean to be shepherds. But, as the scripture says, they feed themselves. I don't know whether you can all understand this, whether you can appreciate it. What God has done on us by his grace. Even, let us be honest now, in these days we are remembering, time and again, we think about it, how it went on after the going home of Brother Branham, how God was taking care of, that the continuation was straight away there, and that the divine message could be carried on. And if you now remember that the whole world is being reached now. Brother Branham, he traveled to 12 countries when he was alive. Perhaps he made 7 trips outside of the USA and Canada. And now the divine message goes forth to the ends of the earth. And if the brothers from the Congo are saying amen, then we can claim up into the bush. Just think of Kolwezi. Just think of some cities. 4,000 brothers and sisters are coming together to hear the word of the Lord Dear 2,000 and dear 3,000, the greatest harvest we have in the Congo, in the DRC. I just want to say, the purpose for what God has sent the message is happening now. We see it now. This we experience now. And all who are born of God are hearing to the voice of the Good Shepherd. All. Listen closely now. All who were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, all who are part of the bride of the Lamb, all who will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, they are hearkening now to that what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. No one can bypass this if we are of God. And therefore the Holy Scripture says, whosoever is of God heareth the words of God. Then in the second part, our Lord says, he speaks to the unbelievers, and he says, you don't hear them because you are not of God. Only who has the connection to God by grace, whoever can testify, behold, everything has become new. The old is past. All things has become new. God has pardoned us. And here it says, in verse 11, in Romans 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. You all know, especially the Messianic Jews in Israel and in other countries, they are referring to John 4, perhaps verse 22. Salvation comes from the Jews. And then they want to see the root in Judaism. And they want to see us being grafted in. This is not correct. Jesus Christ is the root. And the salvation of God came to the Jews. And from the Jews, it came to the Gentiles. Because that's how it was written already, announced in the prophet Isaiah. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. That's how we have it in the Gospel of Luke, in the prophecy which is given there. I can read it to you, that the salvation has come to all the nations. Here we have it very clearly. Because of their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. And so, one has to read this scripture properly. Now, concerning the root, we have it. We have it in Romans 11. Romans 11, especially. Yes, let us read from verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And this will happen as God ordained it. Verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. If the root be holy, so are the branches. Let us think to John 15. I am the vine, Ye are the branches. The life comes from the root and comes into the branches and then into the fruit. And concerning the root, let me read from the most powerful chapter from the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, that chapter which describes our Lord on his way from Gethsemane to Calvary. Isaiah 53, firstly verse 1 and verse 2. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And he has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. One can read on. He was despised and rejected of men, and so forth. He took our pain, our sickness, he took upon himself. And he carried it to the cross. And by his stripes we are healed. That with the root we find also in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Here the two things are put together. Here Revelation 5. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He's both the lion of the tribe of Judah and the root of David. He's the bright morning star. He's Alpha and Omega. He's Savior, Healer, all in all. And in him, we may have all things. So, a divine order. And let me say it and emphasize it once again. In our time is happening what was promised at that time. Also with the opening of the sealed book. Could I have an idea of when I was together with Brother Branham, 1962, I was speaking with him. I told it to you already. Brother Branham had a vision, and he saw that when the street, the Ewing Lane, in which he was dwelling, staying, when this street is being widened, and when the fence of his garden will be laid upon his meadow, and when the bulldozers will drive up and down, this would be the sign that he should move to Arizona because of the vision which was shown to him in reference to the opening of the seven seals, in reference to the appearing of the seven angels. I don't know whether another man on the earth is who can say truly before God, I myself, in December 62, I've seen the fence lying on the grass. I've seen the bulldozers running down, up and down, on his street in which he was staying, which was widened. Also there, I am eyewitness. I have become an eyewitness. And therefore, Brother Branham told me that he, in January, would move to Tucson because of the vision which the Lord showed him. And therefore, Brother Branham told me that I, in his stead, should preach in Los Angeles in the meeting which Demas Shikharian has arranged. I didn't know any Demas Shikharian, but Brother Branham, he arranged everything, and he made a telephone call. He arranged everything that I just had to come there, and there in the Clifton's cafeteria was holding the sermon. If I would tell you all the details, God took really care of that I became an eyewitness, an ear witness of the various things without wanting it. Sometimes I thought, if I would only have a camera with me. But at that time, I was not a journalist yet, and I had no ambitions to make documents there and there. To me, on my heart was something very different. Something very different was on my heart, namely to have part in what God is doing right now. Then of course, this opening of the seals, which you all experienced. Just be honest now. Would God have not opened our understanding for it, then Brother Rennie could have preached about all the seals, and nobody could have followed it, understand it. But God is in simplicity. Just imagine. There John sees a rider on a white horse. Yes, everybody can see it. Everybody can read it. And there was a horse rider. And then comes the next horse rider. Then comes the next one. The one white, the other one red, the other one black. Yes. And then pale, where all the three colors are mixed in one color. And then a prophet of God comes, to whom the word is being revealed. And he says, the first seal concerns the Antichrist in his first stadium. The second seal describes him in the time where already blood was shed. And the third, where hell was following him. And then the fourth as the last one. And the four seals, he placed them biblically. And the fourth seal goes up to the end, parallel to the seven church ages. And then came the fifth seal, which overwhelmed me the most. The fifth seal, souls under the altar, which are crying out day and night, Lord, how long until you will avenge our blood on the inhabitants of the earth? Avenging our blood, they are under the altar. And then Brother Ram says, these are the Jews which were murdered, which didn't experience yet a forgiveness, and which could not forgive yet, and therefore they were praying for vengeance, that God should avenge those who have shed the blood. Who could have placed it? Who could have known it? But to him it was revealed. And if we would go into all the details, and then up to the sixth seal, already the introduction into the day of the Lord, because then the sun is being darkened, and the moon will turn into blood. As written here in Revelation, where is it? The sixth seal, here, Revelation, chapter 9, from verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard, and it comes and comes. And we see not only the sixth seal, we see even the sixth trumpet. And Brother Branham says that all seven trumpets are sounding during the sixth seal. One could go into all the details. It's not my task tonight. I just wanted to say that God was taking care of, that we receive the clarity about all the book of Revelation. Tell me one chapter which God did not reveal, about which he didn't give clarity. Tell me. And the one goes into the other. And we may just thank and again thanking him for the great privilege which we're having now. Let us say in closing, as so often, of what it is about now. It is really about the calling out of the bride church. Here's the point which we have to pay attention to. The gospel is being preached as a witness unto all the nations. This is one thing. But then, the call, ye my people, come out, be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Then we are addressed. Before that, all of the world is being addressed. The gospel of the kingdom is being preached to all nations for a witness. And then the end will come. Before the end comes, the calling out has to take place. I read it to you before that. When these 350 denominations and fellowships are coming together and are submitting to Rome, whoever is then in these denominations, he receives the mark of the beast. He has no chance forever anymore. And therefore, the calling out takes place now, before the total uniting takes place under Rome. One just has to see it from the biblical point of view, from the view of the Bible, to know what God is doing right now. We are not wasting your time, but we are bringing you the everlasting gospel as the last divine message, the calling out and the preparation of the church of the Lord. And let us summarize it now, that we really have the grace to preach the gospel and to tell the people, be ye reconciled with God, telling them only in Christ God was. In him alone he has revealed himself to mankind. Only he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. In the Son, the Father came to us, and in the Son, we are coming to the Father. And therefore, our Lord says, whoever sees me, sees the Father. But where can it be preached today? Everywhere, Christendom, everywhere. Yeah. These are the headlines. The Christian virtue. What kind of values, Christian values? The values of our Lord, the values of Christ, that's what it's all about. His nature, his character. So, we really, by the help of God, we have all three realms. The evangelistic, the teaching, and the prophetic part. We got it entrusted to us by God, by grace. And so we really can proclaim the whole counsel of God at the end of the time of grace. And we wish with all our hearts that all, that really all, are hearing to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Let me say it here for the third time. Whoever belongs to the bride of the Lamb will believe the doctrine of the apostles of the Lamb. will not bypass Revelation 21, because the foundations of the New Jerusalem are carrying the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. What should we seek there? What should we seek there if we would bypass the doctrine of the apostles? What do we want there? No, God has an order, and into this order we have to submit. And therefore, let it be said to all tonight, whoever was not yet baptized biblically in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make use of the next opportunity. Also therein is being confirmed today if you hear his voice. So everything is tuned in with one another. And by grace we may have part in what God is doing right now. We thank the Redeemer for the power of his blood, which speaks today even for us. We thank him for the power of his word, which means everything to us. And we thank him for the power of the Holy Spirit, which carries us through, which really carries us through. And I expect that we today will believe with all our hearts, receiving what God has prepared for us. To our Lord and to our God be the honor now and forever.
Amen.
Let us stand up for prayer. How many understood what's all about? Say amen. It's really about my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they know me. Blessed be our Lord who has revealed himself to us as the resurrected one, whose voice I and all of us have heard by grace. Our Lord is alive. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, concerning the evangelistic part, we may say here, and we may emphasize once again, if there are brothers and sisters, if there are friends in our midst who have not yet dedicated their lives to the Lord fully, be ye reconciled with God, so that the Spirit of God can give testimony to your spirit that you have become the children of God by grace. The evangelistic part is the main part, and with this it starts. The teaching doesn't profit any man who was not born again yet. One is not being taught into the kingdom of God. One is being born into the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again from spirit and water. The seed of the word must be laid into our hearts. And then comes the teaching. And then comes the insight into the prophetic part of the plan of salvation. How many, and I'm asking now, that we are bowing our heads, that we are closing our eyes, that we are remaining in prayer, how many are tonight in our midst who would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord, who want to have the assurance of faith to have become a property of the Lord? Just raise your hand. God bless. God bless. Yes, all over. All over the hands are up. Is somebody at the piano? Let us sing "Just as I Am." We will pray just now. So. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, I'm not Paul, and I'm not Brother Branham, but you are Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I have the same right to say, we tell you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. Be saved from this perverted generation. Dear Lord, we ask now together for salvation of the soul, for forgiveness of sins, for the full salvation which you have given us by your grace. May all who have prayed for it, may all have now the assurance that you received them, that they have become your own possession by your grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for your blood, for the redemption, for the reconciliation, for the forgiveness. Bless all who have now dedicated their lives to you. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Believe it. Believe it. Receive it. And thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah. The second part is the teaching part. Are we all ready to let ourselves be corrected doctrinally? Are we all ready to say yes to the doctrine of the apostles, to the true doctrine as it is written in the Holy Scripture? Then say Amen. Precious Lord, you ever faithful God, I bring you all the congregation. I lay everyone before you. We all want to come doctrinally into the unity of the faith and in the knowledge. Have thine own way, that your teaching is being granted to everyone according to the Scripture. They all shall be taught by God. And we thank you that we are now hearing your voice. To you, the Almighty God, be the honor. And I claim here that all who have heard your word, that they receiving now the divine correction, the teaching, because the teaching goes forth from Jerusalem and the word of God from Mount Zion. And this doctrine we received, and this we are passing on. Thanks be to you, dear Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, and to the third part now, to the prophetic part. To us it is not enough to just read. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We want to have insight into the word of prophecy. Not one single interpretation, but revelation by the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, you are making a complete work with the gospel, with the teaching, with the word of prophecy. And I thank you for it, that you have given to all my brothers and sisters, that you have given me, that you have given us the heart, the eyes. You opened our eyes, understanding for the Scripture, for your plan of salvation in our days. Holy is your name, and all the earth is full of your glory. precious brothers and sisters, now addressed to all the sick. I've said it in Romania. There many prayer requests were brought to the front. And I was asking, what kind of prayer requests are these? And then they said, mostly these are cancer cases. And it came right over me. As sure as the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham on the 7th of May 1946 at around 23 hours in the evening, he told him, if you reach that the people believe you, that the faith is being revived in the people, then nothing will withstand your prayer, not even cancer. And then it came over me, and I had to say, we are preaching today the same gospel, the same revealed word, and nothing shall withstand the prayer. Jesus is the victor over everything, victor over everything. Receive it by faith. You are healed. You are healed. And brothers and sisters, if 800 years before it happened, it was written in past tense, Isaiah 53, 810 years before it happened on the cross of Calvary, if there already is written in the past tense, by his stripes we were healed. What shall we say today if we are looking back to Calvary, when our Lord gave his life and blood and body for us? By his stripes we are healed. And in his blood we are redeemed. Hallelujah. Who has trouble? Who has still trouble to believe? Raise your hand. Is there anyone who has trouble? We want to pray. We will not look down on anyone, but we will just pray that God helps all of us, that he helps each individual. Let us sing together, Only Believe, Only Believe.
You may be seated for a while. Then we will ask Brother Schmidt that he prays with us, and then also our brother from Kinshasa, that he also comes to the front, that he thanks the Lord. I just would like to say that we in the German language have published a circular letter. Yesterday it was finished. We are, of course, we were not able anymore to print it also in the English and the French language.
to have it available already today. But next time, certainly we will have it. So we ask you, please read the circular letter with pleasure. Read it with anointed eyes, with revelation in the heart. It's always like this, that God speaks to us and that He reveals to us what is being set forth. We need the Spirit of God while reading, while hearing. We need the Spirit of God who leads us into all the truth. God willing, tomorrow morning we'll be here again, and we just have the desire that all the parents are taking care for their children. Really, all the parents are taking care for their children. And then we have the desire that at 23 hours, also in the rooms, somehow it's getting quiet now with the conversations, so that everybody who wants to sleep can also sleep. Let us also in this regard be obedient. Let us take care for one another to be a blessing for others. I don't know, we didn't call our sisters to sing. Do we have time for a song, or is the time already up? Do you have a song? Then just come. A nice song of the bride? Or do you want to sing tomorrow? Then sing tomorrow. We stand up, you are coming, and Brother Schmidt, you will pray also. Faithful God, we say thanks unto you and we adore you. We can agree with those, Lord, who were on the way to Emmaus when you were speaking to them. Oh God, they said, did not our heart burn? Does not our heart burn whilst you are speaking to us through thy word, which you have left unto us and which you have put upon the lampstand? And time and again, Lord Jesus Christ, you are pointing to that you are the first and the last, that you are the beginning and the end. Lord God, we thank you for the word of prophecy. We thank you that you revealed it in our time, not our merit, Lord. It was only your grace. It was grace, and it is grace until this very day. That you have granted us grace to remain sober. My God, I thank you. Help us, Lord, to remain sober, so that you can lead us and guide us, so that you can go through our midst, so that you are deciding everything in our lives. Lord, I thank you. All who are carrying your word, please, Lord Jesus, bless them. Give grace and reveal thyself through thy word with the confirmation of your spirit. Amen.